Welcome back in hour number four of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators captain Roman Josi. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Preds in a bit of a funk right now. They've lost three games in a row, trying to get back on the winning side of things coming up on Friday as they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Joe, I thought last night they did a lot of good things, especially 5-on-5. Just weren't able to get many to drop for you last night in the goal-scoring department. And all of a sudden, you turn around, you make it 1-1. Washington responds quickly, and then that number 8 guy on the power play let one rip. So we've seen him do that 100 times in his career. By the way, I saw a stat that Ovechkin – He got his 30th last night. He's had 30 goals in a season, I think, 16 times now, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nashville Predators captain Roman Josi. Going inside the locker room, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in today on Charlotte Avenue. Roman, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Not much. Doing good. How are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Roman, what did you think of the game last night? Obviously not the results you guys are looking for, but just where do you think you guys are at right now in terms of your play and trying to dig out of the losing streak that you're in?
Yeah, obviously it's a bit frustrating with the three games we lost after the break. Honestly, I think our game is not bad. I mean, I think last night we played a decent game. I feel like we had a lot of good chances. They scored. Obviously, they scored right after we scored and scored a power play goal. And we just couldn't capitalize on our chances. But I thought it could have gone the other way too. But obviously, we've got to find a way to get a win here in the next game.
So, Roman, how difficult is it? You guys are focused, obviously, on the daily process. And, John Hines said last night he thought that, there was a lot of things that he liked, a lot of the things, the benchmarks you guys have for a good game performance were there. You didn't get the result you wanted. But as things are progressing here, there are teams in your division who are just red hot right now. And, of course, Dallas got you guys recently, and then they go beat the Avs last night. How difficult is it to – stay focused on what you guys are doing and not look around and think about standings and playoff positioning?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's all about wins and getting points. And like you said, our division is so good this year. It feels like every team is winning. So we got to find a way to get back on the winning streak. And that's what it's all about. But I think if we keep playing the way we are, I think it's always like Heinze said, it's always about the process. If you play the right way, the wins are going to come.
Roman, I'm interested from your vantage point. Obviously, you've played a lot of hockey in your career to this point. You've been on teams that have taken a lot of penalties. You've been on teams that have not taken a lot of penalties. This has been something that John Hines has been talking about, I know, with us and with you guys for weeks now. Just from your vantage point, how do you guys kind of correct the amount of penalties that you take as you move forward here? And how difficult is that to do, to correct those things on the fly throughout the course of a season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to focus on. I think especially the first two games coming back from the break, kind of the penalties kind of cost us the games. But I think obviously part of our identity is playing hard. We're a hard team to play against. We play very physical. So I think you don't want to take that away from our team, but at the same time, I think we got to be smarter with stick fouls offensive zone fouls. Like those are the kind of penalties we can't take. But I don't think we want to change the way we play and keep playing hard. But obviously, just be a little smarter in some areas.
Yeah, what's been? I mean, obviously, there's emphasis. You guys talk about it. Is there, like, what has been the, beyond emphasizing it, talking about it, process for trying to cut those out? Is there really something you can do, like in practice or anything, beyond just saying, guys, we can't do this anymore?
No, we can't really practice it, because obviously the game and practice is a lot different. But I think if you look at our penalties, they're not lazy penalties. Everybody's working hard. Everybody's is trying their best, and sometimes we might be just a little too aggressive. And like I said, we've talked about it, but I think penalties is something you can't really practice. But I think you got to focus on it. But also, you can't just think about penalties the whole time, because then you get a little passive too. So I think it's a fine line between staying aggressive and being a little smarter.
It's Captain Roman Josi on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Roman, obviously Mark Borowiecki signed to a one-year contract extension yesterday by the franchise. What has Borowiecki meant to you, meant to your group, and what was your reaction when you saw that they signed him to an extension?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think everyone on our team was so happy. Boro's been, he's been unbelievable for us this year. I mean, the way he plays so hard. He's really hard to play against. I remember when we played against him, we always talked about Boro, how hard to play against he is, and to have him on our team, he's such an amazing player and such an amazing guy in the locker room. I mean, he's a big leader on our team, a great person, and like I said, I mean, he's one of those guys you want on your team. Every game he steps up for his teammates. You know, he's always got your back, and guys like him are so valuable to our team.
Pretty wild, Roman, that, you know, it's in 2 years, you know, Peter Laviolette has not been back here. Obviously, a nice tribute last night. You know, the fans gave him a nice reception. You guys did. Just wondering, what did he mean in your career? What has he meant to you in your development as a player over the years when he was your coach?
Yeah, he meant a lot. I mean, he's had so much success here in Nashville, and I think just remembering, obviously, the Stanley Cup run was the highlight of his coaching. But all in all, I think just the way he coached. I mean, he was such a great coach. He was such a great motivational speaker. He was always all about family. He made sure every guy on the team, I think felt included, had his role, and he was just a really good coach. And for me personally, I think for me it was like year, I don't know, three or four when you came in, and I think he helped me develop to a better player and a better person. And so I'm definitely very thankful for his time here.
Roman, I know you guys have some business to take care of against Carolina and Florida before we get to this point, but we're about a week away now from Pekka having his jersey retired at Bridgestone Arena. How much are you looking forward to that? And what do you think that, as a guy that knows Pekka really well, obviously, what do you think that night's going to be like for him?
It's going to be awesome. I think we're all looking forward to that. Obviously, it's going to be a fun week. And, him having his jersey retired is the first player in Predators history, it's going to be definitely a memorable night, and I think it means definitely a lot to him. I mean, this city means so much to him, and obviously he means so much to this city, so all the guys are so excited for him. Guys couldn't be happier. I'm sure the fans are really excited too. Like I said, he loves this city, and the city loves him, so it's going to be a fun night.
Of course, before you get to that, Roman, and the big day at Nissan Stadium, got a heck of a road swing here. Maybe some flashbacks to the 1 year division that you were in last year. But how difficult is this next stretch for you guys? And have you been able to, you know, to follow along with Carolina and Florida and the way they've played at such a high level this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're two great teams. I think. You saw it last year when we played them 8 times. They're unbelievable teams. They play, both teams play with a ton of speed, and we know how hard those games are. I think especially Carolina, we played them so many times last year, including playoffs. And both teams are having a great season, so it's going to be a great test for us.
Well, Roman, we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you guys back on the ice coming up on Friday. And thanks for taking time to join us this morning. Congrats on the new addition to your family as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Preds captain Roman Josi, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Inside the Locker Room, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in today on Charlotte Avenue. It's going to be a heck of a week next week for the Predators, with Pekka getting his jersey retired, the Stadium Series game taking place at Nissan Stadium. By the way, two big games coming up before then between, you know, Carolina and Florida as well. It's a heck of a stretch up here for this Predators team.
Yeah, I mean, huge. 10 days from here. And again, it's like these games before you get to the celebration week are, I think, really important to try to get one of those. I would say, look, if they play like they played a lot of, I mean, really even a lot of like 5-on-5 the last couple games, I think they got a chance. I think they took a step forward in some ways last night, you know, but sometimes you're winning games and you get in these little breaks, you know, and sometimes you start going the other way and the breaks go against you. They need something to kind of jar them out of this. And I'd say a win at either of those buildings would be pretty significant.
We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Are you concerned about the Predators now that they've lost three games in a row? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game with special guests Preds forwards Matt Duchesne and Luke Cunningham. The show will be hosted by Max Herz and Chris Mason. The show airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So the Preds fall 4-1 last night to Washington. They've lost three games in a row coming off the break, Joe Rex Road. In different ways, the first two, I think you can point pretty directly to the penalties against Dallas and Winnipeg. I thought they played okay last night against Washington, hit some posts, had some unfortunate bounces go against them. They did have one fortunate bounce go for them, but now they've lost three in a row. Are you concerned at this point if you're a Predators fan based on the way that things have transpired since coming off the All-Star break here?
Well, I think – yes, but I think you're especially just concerned because the other teams in your division are red hot, and especially just the fact that now the Stars seem to have found a pulse here, beating the Avs, you know, last night. Just as we were, you know, talking about the Avs, hey, if they just go on a tear and beat everybody else, that benefits you if you're the Preds. But I mean, everybody, you know, in the last 10 is like 7-3, 8-1-1, whatever it is, and the Preds are like 4-5-1. So it's just it's changed so quickly. Most of those teams have games in hand, and now you can see. I mean, right now the Preds are sinking. I mean, they were number one in the West, and we knew that was fleeting. But now they're number four in their own division, with other teams with games in hand and a very, very tough schedule coming up. So if things don't go their way here quickly, you know, going into, I mean, shoot, or let's say after the game at Nissan, I mean, they could be in a much more precarious position at that point if things don't change here.
Yeah, I mean, they've dropped down to number four in the Central, number one wild card spot right now. So the Preds, you know, with 60 points, they're 5 points ahead of Anaheim for that second wild card spot. Dallas gets the win last night against Colorado. So they're 6 points back by the Preds right now, and they've got two games in hand. So all of a sudden, I mean, we were talking, you know, a few days ago, I think they had a 12-point lead on the Stars at that point, and that has evaporated at this point. Now that you've lost three games in a row, your wiggle room there is gone. And, oh, by the way, the rest of this week you have Carolina and Florida, and then you have Dallas next week and Tampa Bay as well. First off, the Dallas game next week is pretty darn crucial for more reasons than just obviously there's going to be, it's going to be a great night and Pecorine's jersey retirement and all that stuff. And that's going to be awesome. It's also a game. If you're the Predators, you really need to win because you need to get some distance back between yourself and the Stars. But I will say this is kind of, they've not had much adversity they've had to deal with this year. This is a stretch now where there's going to be some pressure applied to this team. I'm interested to see how they respond to it.
Yeah, winning either of those games and this two-game road swing would be massive, and I think it would be really important. But if they don't, you know, how often are those games where you have some kind of other thing as in part of the game? Like, how often do those go your way? I'm trying to remember. I mean, we know last night Laviolette comes back, beats them. According to Alex Doherty, by the way, A to Z Sports, a tweet, he said they were whooping it up pretty good in the Caps locker room, by the way.
I bet they were.
I'm sure he enjoyed the heck out of that. But sometimes that can make it tough, too. You know, if you've got some ceremony. I don't know. Did they win, like, the banner-raising games? I mean, they raised, like, 17 banners based on one season. Did they do, like, a separate banner-raising night for every one of those? I forget. I'm a little bit hazy on that. That was a joke, but do they?
I'm aware.
I know you're aware. I just want the people out there to not be too mad at me. They only did six banner raising nights. Come on, we all know this. I don't know. Do they win these games normally? Will they have something special going on in tandem with a game? You can't lose on Pecorine night.
That's the thing. Like, they've never done anything like this. Like, this is, first off, number one, he's the first player getting his jersey retired, and it's Pekka. Like, it's just a different thing, right? Yeah. So I'm interested to see. By the way, if you're going to that game, keep in mind it starts at 7:30 and not 7 because of the jersey retirement ceremony. So something to keep in mind there. I would think that would give you a little bit of an emotional lift if you're the Predators. Not that you should need one in that game anyway, but maybe I guess the flip side of that is you heard Roman Josi talking about it in the last segment. Well, don't get too much of an emotional lift, and you're going to be driving people through the boards left and right.
Well, exactly. The emotional lift can put you in the box a lot. You know, I mean, that's got to have that controlled rage or whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, it's easy for me to envision the Preds losing these two games against two outstanding teams on the road who they know well from last season. I mean, you're talking about really good teams, 32-11-3 Carolina, 32-10-5 Florida, and being kind of in a desperate spot to end a five-game losing streak on Pecorine night against Dallas. Maybe that will not happen, but I can easily envision it at this point.
By the way, quick sidebar, if you're a big hockey fan, it's pretty hard to beat tonight's back-to-back on TNT. You have Florida and Carolina playing at 6:30 on TNT tonight, and then for the nightcap, Colorado and Vegas, and I think Jack Eichel might play. So how about that back-to-back? That's hard to beat.
That is solid. That is very solid. That's loaded. And that could be two conference final previews right there.
Could be. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kyle texting in says, I was more concerned with the Dallas and Winnipeg losses. The Preds were a couple inches away from being up 2 or 3 last night against Washington. So many posts in the game. This coming from Kyle.
Yeah.
I view those kind of weird because, I mean, they're not a shot on goal. So I do think there are some shots where you beat the goalie clean and you hit the post and you're like, oh man, you're just close. But there are also some where the goalie's just covered up the net and it hits the post and it's not going in. The posts are an interesting thing to me. Lots of players, lots of people view them different ways.
Well, right. That's where advanced stats can help sort that out, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
what's,
for sure.
What site do you like? Natural Stat Trick?
I'm a big Natural Stat Trick guy. Yeah.
You and Vingan.
Yeah, love it. Nate texting in says, if the Preds keep dropping games, how will we feel about the stadium series? I don't think it's going to change the way you feel about stadium series too much. I mean, it's the stadium series game is more about the spectacle of it all. Like, it's two big points on the line. I get that. I recognize that. But the stadium series game is more about, from a fan standpoint, more about the environment.
No question. It's a celebration of hockey. It's a celebration of hockey here. I think it's a great thing that the NHL has made a tradition. It will be a measuring game too, though. You know, no question about it. to play against that team in it makes it, gives it a little extra oomph.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter, a Chase texting in, says, how do you leave Ovechkin wide open on the power play? That's a question that 31 other teams in the NHL have been asking for 15 years at this point.
Well, my question after last night, after I watched something I've seen a million times, is how do they rank where they rank on the power play?
They were 29th heading into that game.
How?
I don't know.
It makes zero sense.
Well, it's not like he's having a bad year either. He's got 30 goals at his age, and there's still like 40 games left. He's got 30 goals.
Unbelievable. He's going to break the record. By the way, it was the same night that Crosby gets his 500th.
Yeah.
That's nice job, Sid. That's nice. 500.
Well, and look, in all seriousness, though, it's a little bit more difficult than you're just leaving Ovechkin wide open. Like, John Carlson, I thought, did a really good job on that play of taking the puck and driving the middle. And when you drive in the middle like that, coming up from the point, I mean, you could leave John Carlson alone and let him just rip one from there and devote all your attention to Ovechkin. It's probably going to end up in the back of your net. So I thought it was a great play by Carlson there to draw attention his way, and that gave Ovechkin just a little bit of space. That's all he needs on that one-timer. You know, it's funny because, like, a lot of the goals that Ovechkin scores from that spot, there's no traffic in front.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He just rips it anyway. It doesn't matter.
It's like a heat-seeking missile.
It's unbelievable.
It's a goalie-avoiding missile.
It is. It's the way that it comes off his stick there. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, I'm not concerned at all. Keep giving young guys experience and don't make any crazy moves. Once we know more about what we have this offseason, then we can start making moves to push again for the cup. So Heidi already moving to the offseason. Then we'll look ahead then.
I feel like Heidi is way too patient a fan lately. Heidi, didn't you used to be a little bit more frantic and frenetic?
Maybe that's when Joe's Clowney was in there.
Is that what it was? As soon as Clowney leaves town, you're able to calm down and have perspective on things?
Yeah, man.
Now, at least you didn't whip me.
Well, Friday night, big one for the Predators. I am interested, like, especially if I'm a Predators fan, I'm rooting for Carolina tonight. Let them go out there and beat Florida. Then maybe a little bit of a letdown coming up on Friday. A little bit of that emotional pull. We'll see. I'm all about psychological games in the dog days of a hockey season. I think those things matter.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. They're going to have to play regardless. They're going to have to play really well.
Yes, they are.
But, you know, maybe they've got a score to settle from last season's playoffs. So first chance to they haven't been here, right?
They've been here, yeah.
Oh, they have been here.
Like the second game of the year, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. That was like last year, so.
Yeah, well, compared to, like, how often they played Carolina last year, it probably feels like they haven't seen the Hurricanes in 5 years at this point.
Yeah. God, that got old, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, it did. We'll come back. We'll revisit the Vols' big win last night against Kentucky. Michelle Knezevic's favorite topic coming up.
Yes.
Next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a 4-pack of wristbands to give away to the 46th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland starting today through Sunday. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a 4-pack of wristbands to the 46th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up February the 16th through the 20th. So hit up our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, big win last night for the Tennessee Vols. They get it done at home against the Kentucky Wildcats. What does the win last night for Tennessee prove to you about this team, and what do you think it could mean for the Vols as they move forward here?
Well, I think it's a big win. And, you know, I think Kentucky is a really good team. I think Kentucky is on the really short list of teams that can win it all this year. And I think Auburn's on that list too. Now, Ty Washington is not himself. He's hurt. He tried to go. Maybe he shouldn't have gone. Calipari said as much after the game. They're obviously different with him. But, look, they're still a very good team. And they beat Tennessee, 107-79, a month earlier. And I think you do see, like, a lot of growth with the Vols from that game. That was a wacky day. And you could look at last night and say the same thing. Okay, it's an incredible environment. It's a night game on the road. And sometimes, you know, at home especially, role players will hit shots that kind of play outside themselves sometimes. I mean, I thought the Vols got a lot of good performances. But I think that they have figured some things out in that, and now this five-game winning streak. That includes Josiah James finding his offensive game to go with what's very important. You know, defensively, he's the leader. He's one of the best defensive players to me in college basketball. You've got the bigs have responded to the loss of Olivier Nkamwa, and now Jonas Adu is certainly a storyline right now. The freshman, five-star, had mono, wasn't playing. You can see where he could really make a difference. But I still came away from that game like I've come away from so many games. I don't think Tennessee wins at Vanderbilt this year if they don't have Zakai Ziegler doing what he did in the second half of that game. And I don't think they're close to the team that they are right now, which to me is a dangerous team if they don't have Zakai Ziegler as part of this recruiting class. And now they have two point guards who can get where they need to get, who can hit shots, who can play good defense, especially for freshmen. And it's just a great weapon for Rick Barnes. And Kenny Chandler, I mean, by the way, 18 points, 6 assists, no turnovers, his own personal 8-0 run in the first half that really kind of gave the Vols some separation. There's a lot to like about what they're doing right now.
What do you think of the John Fulkerson part of this? We had Mike Wilson on earlier in the show. You know, he had 12 points against Vanderbilt in 26 minutes. He had 26 minutes against last night, 14 points against Kentucky. You know, it's been kind of Jekyll and Hyde from Fulkerson so far this year, and Rick Barnes has talked about that part of it a lot so far this year, but that's two really good games in a row from Fulkerson. You know, it's difficult for me to project out and just say this is what he's going to be as he moves forward here, but obviously some pretty encouraging signs for him the last couple of games.
Well, I think it's especially encouraging because against Kentucky, whenever they play a team that has like a space-eating kind of big man, I'm like, yeah, Fulkerson, I just have a seat, you know, because he can still get pushed around so easily. I thought he battled really well. He used his length. He just makes so many little plays too. You know, just saving the ball to bounds, just savvy 17th year senior plays, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's – and when he decides to actually attack the basket and drive people and spin and put pressure on them, then he is better and the balls are better. And he did that last night. I don't know why some nights he just doesn't seem to want to do that. But look, obviously he's never really developed much of an outside shot, and he can still be muscled, you know, in the post. But when he becomes kind of a face up driver type player and then does all the other little things on the floor, he's a really effective guy to have in the rotation. Apparently he really likes coming off the bench. So you got Fulkerson and you got Ziegler coming off the bench, and that's not bad. You can get some minutes from Plavsic right away. He didn't do a lot last night, but he still, you know, got some rebounds, gave you some of that size in there. And then I think we're going to see Adu more and more, maybe see a little bit of offense from him too.
Well, he was, to me, he really opened my eyes to him last night. He only had 5 points. He had 7 rebounds, but 3 blocks in that game. You talked about it earlier, just having kind of that element of a rim protector that maybe, you know, even with Nkamwa in there, I think what we're seeing from Adu right now kind of takes it to a different level. So it's pretty incredible that everything that he's dealt with the mono that you talked about, now he could be, I think, a pretty big factor for the Vols coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and I think he can replace and maybe even build on, you know, go beyond what Kamwa did defensively. The one thing that they really miss with that is none of these bigs can come in and hit a trailing three, you know, and be really like pick and pop players like Kamwa was. And that's just a great thing to have to create more space on the floor, just have another shooting element. But in terms of overall shooting, if James is going to shoot like this, and now Ziegler, Chandler, I mean, you know, and Vescovi's been steady all year. Now all of a sudden, you know, they got a lot of guys who can hit those shots. And that doesn't even get into, you know, Justin Powell, who is kind of struggling to be on the floor, but they have enough shooting now to where they don't need to use them too much. So I think they got a real chance here to win some more big games. They had two with Arkansas, they got Auburn. I think they could be a solid three seed and be a second weekend team for sure in the NCAA tournament. I know that some Vols fan will immediately say Rick Barnes, and that's fair, but he has had teams make runs.
Michelle Konezovic has been a very popular topic of conversation today on the text line. Michelle, do you feel like this show has been kind of therapeutic for you, that you've been able to kind of process this loss and maybe move forward now? Do you feel like this has helped you today?
Yes. I mean, I talked a lot about Kentucky football, you know, at the beginning of the season when I had to wear the Tennessee shirt when they lost. Wasn't as bad as this one. Basketball's just a whole nother level for me. And to be honest, this morning, I really needed a mental health day. I really didn't know if I could come in and do it. But here we are. We're in the home stretch of it. I actually went to bed and didn't even watch the last 5 minutes of the game because I was so frustrated.
Gave up.
I did. I was like, I can't watch this anymore. But I was rewatching it on my laptop someplace during the show. But, you know, I'm disappointed but not discouraged. I do think this team, I think it's a great team. I think it's one of Cal's best teams since before 2015. Maybe that Tyler Hero team. But I think Tennessee, it's kind of what you guys have been looking for. They finally offensively got it going, and Zakai Ziegler, I really don't want to see him for the next couple of years in the SEC. So that was a great grab.
Joe, do you think that Kentucky is about to unravel at the seams here?
No.
I don't know. I think their strength coach might need to calm the hell down and stop flexing on 5'7" freshmen. I'll tell you that much.
In his defense, they probably were like the same height.
Well, they probably were.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that was weird.
Yeah, that was wild, that entire situation.
Things get a little chippy in Thompson Bowling this year, man.
Yes,
it's raucous in there.
There was three technical fouls in the first, 5 minutes?
Yeah, man.
I mean, you had, like, the pregame fight with LSU, and then the Vols blitzed them. Then you had the – I still don't know which Florida player, but one of them, you know, made fun of Ziegler's lack of height. So Ziegler gets on a chair and does the gator chop at him. Which I think is one of the great troll trash talking things I've ever heard of in my life. And now we have this. Ziegler seems to be at the center of a lot of this.
Ziegler's causing stuff.
And then last night, a bunch of them went up in the crowd.
They crowd surfed, including
Ziegler. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of Ziegler. It'll be interesting. I mean, look, he may be the same. Like, I don't know that he's going to be like an All-American or anything like that, you know? Like, maybe he's going to be the same level of player, but he's going to be the leader for sure of this team, probably from sophomore year on. And it just – you can't put a value – again, Grant Williams comes to mind. I mean, a guy I think of who I covered in college, Draymond Green, you can't put a – it's hard to quantify what it means to have someone who's that much of a competitor, who wants it that bad and is that much tougher than everybody else on the floor, but that's what he is.
Well, and I don't want people on the text line to freak out. We had a situation arise today where I was not able to bring in the Tennessee shirt, but Michelle will have one tomorrow.
Everyone,
so you can live in this for 2 days.
I don't know if I could have wore it today. I woke up and laid in my bed just really sad. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. To be honest, I was like, you know, Joe's on Zoom today. I wonder if Robbie will text and not come in. And then I got the text, and it was just a sigh of relief because I just didn't know if I could do it today. I mean, I would have, but yes, I will be wearing that gaudy orange tomorrow.
Photographic evidence will be a part of it. It's Good stuff.
We'll tweet the photo out.
Oh, there will be photos tweeted. Yeah, now you got to prolong the you know, like you could move forward, but now you got another day of kind of thinking about this. Yeah. Well, but listen, we'll probably talk about it anyway. So
yeah, I need 24 hours to mourn the loss, right? Okay, so tomorrow we'll be post that, but before the game, I tweeted, I feel like a little kid on Christmas because at 6 o'clock I was just ready for the game. I hate the 8 o'clock tips. I'm ready for bed by then, so I'm just like waiting, cooking dinner. Finally, it's like 7:30, and I just have the stream on where it's just waiting, and then the Duke game went over, blah, 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 all that. And I tweeted, I feel like a little kid on Christmas waiting for this game, and a Vols fan literally 5 minutes ago just tweeted, Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. And then I just tweeted, nice. I think I got Cole. So, yep, that's where we're at.
So what is that, Joe Rex? So Rick Barnes now 9-7 against Calipari. Is that correct?
9-7 at, I think he has, he beat him at Texas once or twice too, but yeah, 9-7 as Tennessee's coach.
Yeah. Tell me about your postseason record.
but that, I mean, that's not a small sample size.
Do we want to get into postseason records with Cal? Is that
no,
what we want to do?
No, Robbie, actually, no.
Oh, big win for the Balls last night. They got some big ones coming up. Arkansas coming down the stretch. Auburn coming to Thompson Bowling. Going to be some big games coming up here in the next few weeks for the Balls. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michelle, people are getting after you on the text line. John in Columbia texting in says, Michelle, you better get ready. You're going to be wearing orange a lot with football, basketball, and baseball too. Do we want to go ahead and make a Tennessee-Kentucky baseball bet?
No, I'll take Vandy for baseball, actually. Oh, let's do that one.
Okay.
Does that sound good, Rob?
We're going to go with Tim Corbin and company in baseball. Probably not a bad way to go about it. I like it. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a texture that says, she said gaudy orange, but I think she meant godly orange. So dressing up as Tennessee orange apparently makes you a more godly person, according to this texture.
That's a line from The Blind Side.
Oh, it is. Great movie.
Great movie.
A little Sandra Bullock action.
Also, does it make Tennessee fans sad that when you type in UT, it comes up University of Texas? Okay.
It's just wrong.
Is that a little trolling? Is that some sour grapes that I'm detecting?
Nope.
Wait, Tennessee was a university before Texas was a state. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it actually. Out there. Now, listen, I mean, in all seriousness, there will be at some point. And I think about this because, you know, of course, my brain thinks in terms of sports writing.
Yeah.
When you're writing a column or a story off a game, you always have you go to the abbreviation.
Sure.
So when I write about the Balls, I write Tennessee out first time, and the rest of the piece I write UT. And when they play Texas, UT means Tennessee, and that's what it will be. And if we have to institute some bylaws in the freaking SEC rulebook, then that's what we'll do. They absolutely don't get UT at Texas. I don't give a crap if people from Rhode Island think that that's what UT is.
That's right.
Joe get out here, is Rhode a Tennessee Island. Fan.
Yeah. GB Joe.
GB Joe today.
GB Joe.
It's good stuff. Joe, the Cincinnati Bengals have given Zach Taylor a contract extension through 2026. Also, coming out that Joe Burrow, you know, the knee injury where it looked pretty bad for Joe Burrow the other day, comes out that he played through a strained MCL. Not going to require surgery, at least they don't think so. Should not hamper his offseason too much, but Joe Burrow playing through a sprained MCL in that game. When he first went down.
At the end.
When he first went down, yep. I thought to myself, oh, no. Did he just tear his ACL again? Because he was screaming in pain, but – He gutted it out, got back out there.
He immediately grabbed it. And I even thought when he came out, I was like, you know, you get the adrenaline, you take a shot, get back out there. But I guess the way he was moving around, there was no way that could have been a torn ACL, right? Probably not. So I'm not surprised to hear that news. I'm glad that it's a non-surgical situation, it appears. Heal up, get healthy, and, you know, text your GM, you know, like offensive lineman, like do subliminal advertising the entire offseason so your GM will get you some offensive linemen. I mean, I'm sure you'd love to continue to have Quentin Spain protecting you. You
know? Yes.
It's like send him like a little 67 with like the red circle and a line through it, you know?
Yeah, Quentin Spain's probably hanging out outside of, you know, Jeffrey Simmons' apartment right now, just waiting to see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm sure he really wants to tangle with Jeff Simmons.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. I've got a doozy for you here, Joe. You ready for this?
Probably not.
I got a text that says, Preds need another Duchesne or Forsberg. With the trade deadline coming, this is the final piece, and they will compete with anyone in the league. You send Tanner Jeannot and some picks for Austin Matthews. Hate to give up Jeannot, but we need more goal scorers. What do we think about the trading Tanner Jeannot and some picks to Toronto for Austin Matthews, which I'm sure the Maple Leafs would just jump all over.
Leafs are all over that, baby. Leafs are all over that. Piece of cake. Maybe like Tanner Jeannot and like a fourth. For Austin Matthews. That's good stuff.
Oh, man. I love it.
We're laughing with you, not at you.
Yeah. Austin Matthews has 32 goals in 43 games, by the way. 57 points.
Decent. And
he's probably going to score 50 this year. I don't think that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be giving him up anytime soon.
Hey, I like the thought. What about Claude Giroux? What would it take to get Claude Giroux?
That's an interesting question. He's going to get traded. So that's an interesting question to me. I don't know if you're the Predators, if you're putting yourself in that spot. Like, a first-round pick is going to be a part of it. Probably a first-round pick and at least one high-level prospect, maybe two. And the thing to keep in mind is he is an unrestricted free agent. So the price only goes so far when you have unrestricted free agents and rental players. But a first-round pick is 1,000% going to be a part of it.
So if they don't sign Forsberg, they don't move him, they go trade for Claude Giroux, they got two high price rentals.
Yeah.
What would this team be though? If you had Giroux playing with Johansson on that line?
Well, look, I think they would be good. They would still to me be behind Colorado, maybe behind Vegas, depending on how Jack Eichel works out there. Minnesota's playing really well right now. Like, if they went and got Claude Giroux right now, does that really change the picture all that much in terms of how they match up against the Colorado? Probably not. Now, everybody keeps saying that about, like, well, what about Colorado? Like, you don't know that you'll be playing Colorado in the playoffs, and you don't know if you do play them when it'll be. So, like, you can't operate if you're David Poile saying to myself, well, I've got to make sure that on paper my team is as close to matching up with Colorado as they possibly can be. Like, that's not going to be the way that I think David Poile operates here. Just a guess. Could be wrong.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. Maybe he loads up.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. Yeah, in all seriousness, yeah, that would be very surprising. I guess it would be less surprising. I mean, some kind of a buy at this point, some kind of a soft – being a soft buyer would make sense at this point. But, hey, you know, right now they're in a little bit of a skid. I mean, who knows? Things can change quickly in this league.
Kyle texting in says, I love where his head's at. Maybe we could send the Yak to Edmonton for Leon Draisaitl.
There we go. Now we're using our noodlers here. Good job, folks.
Why stop short? Just go for McDavid. If you're going to take a swing at Edmonton, just go get Connor.
You might have to trade the whole herd line for those two, though.
Maybe so. We're getting close to my favorite time of the year, and that is rampant trade deadline speculation. I'm here for it.
Good stuff. A lot of exciting stuff coming up. And maybe news about Forsberg and the Preds. I took yesterday's very interesting conversation with David Poile and Darren Donovan Chase as David Poile trying to give a gentle kick in the butt to Forsberg's agent. I could be wrong. That's what it sounded like to me, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't think there's any question. It's go time in terms of if you're the Predators, whatever your best offer is for Forsberg, and I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, it's getting close to time to putting that on the table and saying, all right, here you go. We got to figure this thing out. And if you're Forsberg, if you really want to be here, which I think he does, we're getting close to the time of, all right, let's see what we can do to make this work, because we're less than 5 weeks away now from the trade deadline. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Dottick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.